This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this live edition of the Strang Report podcast. Today, we're going to talk about something that is controversial in many circles. It's the prophetic. In fact, recently with Mario Murillo and some other guests, I've actually talked about some prophets that we're concerned about as being false prophets who are not accountable. And I have gotten tremendous response to those podcasts. You need to check them out either on the Charisma Podcast Network or on YouTube. And we actually call names. Well, today I'm going to talk about the prophetic and see if I can bring some closure to some of the questions that have come up, and also to try to give a perspective. Now, most of you know that I've been a Christian journalist most of my career, covering the Pentecostal charismatic movement, which believes that the gifts are for today. I believe the gifts are for today, and one of the gifts is the gift of prophecy. There was prophecy in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'll get into that in just a minute. In fact, I dealt with it. I have a whole chapter on the prophetic in my new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, which you can get really anywhere Christian books are sold, especially Amazon or my own site called stevestrangbooks.com. It's an important part of the spirit-filled life. And I go, some of what I'm going to say today, I say in the book. Of course, in the book, I'm able to go somewhat more in depth and give documentation and so forth. Today, I'm going to give kind of an overview because there's so much interest. I believe that people are interested in hearing what God says. At the same time, there are people who play loose and free with the prophetic because it gets a crowd, it gets offerings, it builds the ministries, and frankly, because of our freedom of religion in this country, they don't really get much in trouble if they're false prophets. The only thing is that lately, there have been some prophets who have prophesied about Donald Trump. And boy, when you say anything about Donald Trump, you seem to get into trouble over that. Now, I wrote an entire book called God and Donald Trump, and the reason I wrote it was the prophecies that he would be raised up as a leader, to be president. Certain prophets prophesied that he would actually win, and it seemed against all odds. It was not widely documented. It was fairly well known in Christian circles by word of mouth, and also some videos that went viral. One of them was by Kim Clement. In fact, there were two of them. I document this in my book. I give actually a transcription of part of the prophecy. I tell where people can find it, and it was that God was going to raise up a very unlikely person to be a spokesman, a defender of freedom, and God was going to do it. And it looked right up until the very end of the election. I remember it so well that he wouldn't win, but then he did win. When it was not documented, I read several books on Donald Trump. I've mentioned this before, and they barely mentioned the evangelical Christian vote, which was overwhelmingly for Donald Trump because he supported our values, even though a lot of people didn't like some aspects of his personality. And I felt it needed to be put on the record. I'll also talk about that a little bit later too. I will tell you that in the last week, I was able to be with my friend Hubie Sin. He was actually in Orlando to minister. He ministered two nights. And he is a prophet. He's a very gentle prophet who hears from God what God is saying to a person. And he has spoken this. He's almost timid, if you know him at all. In fact, we did two books with him. Here they are right there. The first one was Tales of a Wandering Prophet, in which he tells how he makes his living as an accountant. He's a CPA, but God has given him this gift, and it tells a story of how one of his clients was a NFL football player that hardly anybody had ever heard of. His name is David Tyree, and he very reluctantly but carefully asked him, you know, he felt that the Lord had something he wanted to say to him, and was he open to it? And David Tyree said that he was, and it was that God was going to make a spectacular play in the Super Bowl, and that it was going to give him a platform to share the gospel. And I actually heard about the prophecy before it happened. I did not know Hubie Sin at the time, but I actually watched the game wondering what it was. Well, if you remember that at all, they say it was the greatest catch in NFL history. He actually caught the football on his helmet and didn't drop it. And suddenly everybody knew who David Tyree was, and that prophecy came true. When I found out about it, we had one of our writers do an interview and an article on charismanews.com, and then later I met Hubie. He's a very special person. We actually became friends. I tell this story and the next story in my book in this chapter, In Spirit-Led Living in an Upside Down World. I document it very, very carefully. Now, of course, Hubie in his book, he also documents it. In fact, I got some of the details from his book. And Hubie was traveling to, I don't remember where he was traveling to, but he was stuck in Charlotte in the middle of the night, transferring airplanes, and the weather was terrible. I was actually in Charlotte last week. I was in the same airport, and I thought about it. I thought, hey, this is where it happened. And often he will ask the Lord, he said, is there someone I can speak to encourage or to just give a word? And the Lord said, yes, I'd like you to speak to this man with a dark beard, wearing all black, looked very much like a Jewish rabbi or even an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. And Hubie said to himself, I don't think so. You know, I don't think he'd be open at all. But the Lord would not take away the impression that he should speak to him. So finally he spoke to him and he said, what's the good word? Meanwhile, this man was Jonathan Kahn. They did not know each other at all. Jonathan glanced up and thought that this was probably a secular businessman. And so as a messianic believer in Jesus, he thought he would witness. And he said to him, Jesus loves you. Well, in a split second, you know, they sort of knew that each other was a believer. And Hubie said to him, the Lord has a very special message that is going to shake the world. And he said something to the effect of, you're in the valley of decision, you're trying to decide what to do, and the Lord is encouraging you. Now, a more specific form of that is in my book. You can read it. I'm giving you a very ad-lib summary of what he said. Here's the thing. Jonathan Kahn, he had written the book. He did not know what to do, and he decided to really seek the Lord, and he decided to use the hours that he was traveling to specifically pray in his heart, saying, Lord, what do I do? He was literally praying, Lord, what do I do? When this man said, you're in the valley of decision, and the Lord has given you a very special word. That book was The Harbinger, which ended up selling nearly 2 million copies. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for 102 weeks. That's over 2 years. And Hubie knew me, and you know that it's also in the book, but it's not a big part of the story, but I'm just going to tell you. And he asked Jonathan if it was okay if he contacted me. He thought I might be interested, and I was. We had no idea that The Harbinger would be as big as it turned out to be. It's been a great blessing to many, many people, and it opened up many, many doors. I know that he's spoken in Washington. He's spoken in the United Nations. He's traveled to many places, and he really has become recognized as a prophet to our nation. He's very concerned about the direction of the nation. He's trying to call the nation back to God. He's trying to stir up the church to be the church and understand what God is doing. In fact, that is a good segue into me mentioning this book. It just came in yesterday, I think. It's called The Josiah Manifesto. Isn't that pretty? The cover, it's all glossy. And I got one of the very first copies. The book actually releases the day after Labor Day. That's just a little bit over a month from now. And you can order, you can pre-order it, and many people have pre-ordered it on Amazon.com, but they don't release it, same with every book. They don't release the book until the day that it's released. it's simpler that way. It treats everybody exactly the same. However, you can get a copy now from our own website. We don't have that same embargo, and it's called mycharismashop.com. We'd like to have you sign up and be a customer, so to speak. And you can order this book now. Just go to mycharismashop.com, and you can get a copy of the Josiah Manifesto. You know, every time I get a new book with Jonathan Cahn, I think is better than the book before. This one may be his best book. In fact, he and I were in Charlotte to be with Sid Roth, who is going to be airing some programs. I was there during the taping. It was magnificent. Sid Roth is an excited person, if you know him, but he was just off the chain. He was so excited about this book and the message, because what he does is Jonathan Cahn connects dots. He kind of shows how God is doing things, and then it leads up to Josiah, who is the Israel king, who called Israel back to the one true God. And he kind of, there's a passage of scripture that when you read it, it's almost a manifesto on how a backslidden nation can come back to God. And he's saying that's a manifesto. That's the blueprint. That's the word of God showing how America can come back to God. And it's a book that you want to read. It'll be interesting for me to see how many of you respond to what I have to say. By the way, you can also get Hubie's book, The Tales of a Wandering Prophet, on mycharismashop.com, or you can, of course, go to Amazon or Christian Books. Christian Books is a very good bookseller. In fact, I talked to this is just a coincidence, but I actually talked to the president this morning just about normal publishing things. I'll mention his new book, which is Lessons from a Wandering Prophet, and it's got a foreword by Kathy Lee Gifford, who Jonathan gave her a word. He met her. He's not pushy at all, but he felt that he had something to say, and it made a huge impact on her life, so much so that she wrote a book. I don't remember the name of it right now, but it was one of her recent books in which she writes about people who have really impacted her spiritually, and she has a chapter in there on Hubie, and I thought that was very, very special. I just do a little shout out to Hubie. Now, let's talk about prophecies. The prophetic is always controversial. But first, let me differentiate that prophecy in the Old Testament, which was before we really had the scriptures other than the what we call the Pentateuch, the Jews call it the Torah, and the prophets actually spoke for God to the people, often saying that God is going to judge Israel for turning from God. And, you know, it's part of our Bible, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, I could go on. And they had a role. And if they were wrong, they could be stoned. And there are those who are very critical of anything Pentecostal or charismatic, who like to quote that scripture. However, the New Testament and the Old Testament, or the Hebrew scriptures, are different dispensations. And, you know, there are some differences. For example, there was Joseph in the Old Testament, of course, and there was Joseph, Mary's husband. And we don't get them confused, and we shouldn't get the fact that prophet is used for both. Paul talks about the different spiritual gifts. You know, there's healings, there's miracles, there's the gift of discernment of spirits, there's the gift of tongues, there's the gift of prophecy. And Paul says to judge prophecy. And that's what we're talking about today, judging prophecy to see if it's right or not. It's not always right. I think that that shows that the prophetic was people hearing. The Holy Spirit would prompt someone, like I was describing with Hubie. The Holy Spirit would prompt Hubie to give a prophecy. Usually it's in a rather private setting. Sometimes it's in a church service where someone will get up and declare what they believe the Lord is saying Now, people are human. They get things wrong. Sometimes the prophecy is wishful thinking. I personally believe that there was an outpouring of prophecy right around the time of the election in January 6th, in which certain prophets who felt that God had raised Donald Trump up, who had even felt that Donald Trump would have two terms, and they were very, very strident. I know some of these people are my friends, and it really turned a lot of people off, and I wish that they had kind of backed off. There was actually one prophet, a young man named Jeremiah Johnson, who I know. He actually was from my hometown of Lakeland, Florida. I had occasion to get to know him. He seemed to be humble. He was an up-and-comer. The Lord seemed to be blessing his ministry. He got a following. And when the election happened and Trump did not get in, there are many of us who believe that there was impropriety in that. But, you know, that's a subject for another day. Jeremiah was very strong, and when he did not get in, he did the humble thing. He actually took himself out of ministry. He closed down his ministry, which had his name in it, Jeremiah Johnson Ministries. He moved from Lakeland up to North Carolina to start over. He went through an intense period of seeking God, and also a lot of bad things happened. In fact, I got an email from him, and he said that after he did that, he had a hellacious 9 months of death threats, public humiliation with national headlines, and a tremendous loss of finances, longtime friends, and precious ministry problem. And one of his mentors said that he had never seen a ministry endure such demonic attack and assault at an international level and survive. It was absolutely awful. Now, I personally believe that there was a lot of demonic spiritual warfare at work around this whole situation. And that, again, is a discussion for another day. We have dealt with it before on my Strang Report, but I'm just trying to put it into perspective. I believe a lot of these tacks, you know, the secular people think this is all a bunch of nonsense or superstition or religiosity. They don't take it into account at all. But when you start saying that God backs one candidate rather than the other, all hell breaks loose. Now, I don't believe, I personally believe that Donald Trump has accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior, the best he understands it. But it's like someone said, he's a baby Christian. I'm not here to defend him. But what happens is he did back biblical principles, freedom of religion, which is a constitutional right, but also the life of the unborn. You know, he promised he would put in the kind of Supreme Court justices who would read the Constitution as it was written rather than making up rights that are not in the Constitution. You can read the Constitution. You can look for it. You can do a word search. You can do anything you want. The word abortion is not in there. It is not a constitutional right. It was like a right of privacy, which is also not in the Constitution. You know, some of these things they made up out of thin air, and then they used the precedent of it being used in another case. And all the Supreme Court said was it's not in the Constitution. It should be decided by the states, which is how it should have been all along. It did not actually outlaw abortion, although there are many of us who are pro-life who believe that abortion is wrong and should be banned, except in some very, very maybe minor extreme cases. And Donald Trump did do what he said he would do. And the other side, the other party, backs things that are clearly not scriptural and actually are hostile to religious things. So it's not like one party is more godly or righteous than the other, but one is more in line with the Word of God. And as we vote, we should always vote for the person whose beliefs line up with what God's Word, which is eternal truth, what it teaches, not one party or the other. But I'm talking about prophecy right now, and all hell broke loose. Jeremiah Johnson had extreme attacks But I also admire him because he did the right thing. He apologized, he stepped down, and the email was to give glory to God about some of the things. A ministry actually turned over some property to them, some other good things have happened. He has a new emphasis that he calls the global, the altar global. In fact, I'm going to reach out to him and see if I can do a podcast. I did a podcast with him a number of years ago. It'll be interesting to see what happens from his perspective. Now, I believe that he did the right thing. He said he was wrong. He made a mistake. He apologized. There are some prophets prophesying things. There's almost like a little subculture of people that love this. One of them is Kat Kerr from Jacksonville, Florida. I've never met Kat. Even though she's been around for a long time, she was not prominent until Steve Schultz put her on the Elijah list, or now it's called Elijah Streams. And she would talk about going up to heaven and seeing the Apostle Paul and having tea with him. And then she would go up there and she would see people in heaven who had died and come back and tell their grieving family members that they were in heaven. Or she said that she would describe heaven as having mountains made out of jello. And Christopher Reeve, you know, who played Superman, was giving flying lessons. And there was a Walt Disney room, on and on and on. None of this is biblical at all. In fact, Jesus even told a story about the story about the rich man who died and went to hell, and the leper went to heaven. He called out and he said, "Can I go back and warn my family members that they're living the wrong way and they're going to end up in hell?" And the answer came back, "No. There's a gulf between, and you can't go back and forth." You know, there are a few times Paul talks about being caught up into the third heaven, but it's very ambiguous, and in fact, you're not even really sure. Bible scholars are not even really sure if it was Paul or if he was describing someone else. There are things that we don't understand about the third heaven, but the Bible does not talk about mountains made out of jello. You know, the fact is that if she had said this was a dream, or this is imagery like Narnia that C.S. Lewis talked about, if she said it was fiction, there are a lot of things. But no, she said that God showed her. I'm very concerned about that. I'm probably more concerned that she has a big following. There are other people, too. A number of years ago, there was a man named Bernard Jordan who had quite a following up in New York. And the story was that he sold prophecies. If you gave a $30 donation, you'd get a $30 prophecy. Now, I've been told by a mutual friend that he says he didn't sell, but the fact was it was a quid pro quo. And we dealt with this back in the 80s. Jamie Buckingham, before he died, we dealt with this because we were featuring Jordan in a magazine and so on and so forth. Now I've lost touch with him. I haven't even heard about him until recently, but that's an example. We published a book a number of years ago by John Bevere called Thus Saith the Lord, in which he said that he was concerned that he would go into churches. In fact, he used this example, which stuck in my mind, that a pastor said, "Why don't you give a few prophetic words in the service?" It was a Sunday morning service, "because it will improve the attendance tonight and the other services we're handing during the week." Now, John was just flabbergasted that a pastor would say that. But the thing is that it tickles people's ears. And this is one of the things that the prophetic, even good people who do have a gift from God, can sometimes get a little bit off base. And that I know personally several leaders who actually talked and examined some of the things that they believe because of what John wrote. John did not name names, and he talked in general. He was talking about principles. And also, he is a man who walks in the Spirit, who believes in spiritual gifts. But it was an example of testing the spirits and speaking up. And my doing this podcast and the interviews I've done with Mario Murillo, which you need to look up if you haven't seen them, is a way to try to bring some balance in the body of Christ. It needs to be done by those of us who are discerning. We need to have discernment from the Holy Spirit on what spirits are right and what spirits are wrong. There's so much more that could be said and should be said, but I just felt, partly because I was with UB Sin a few days ago, partly because I got this, I literally got this email an hour before I came into the studio, and I just thought this ties into what I'm talking about today. I want your comments. In fact, I should have probably asked for questions earlier, and we can discuss it. I'll be doing other podcasts on this in the future because it's so important. We've got to get this right. We need prophets more than ever before. And the thing is, the people who are flakes make it hard for the ones who are legitimate. It's like the little boy that cried wolf. You know, after a while, nobody believed him anymore, even when a wolf came. And we cannot have wolves in sheep's clothing leading people astray and bringing discredit to the body of Christ. Now, as I wrap this up, I want to ask you to like and subscribe to my Strang Report newsletter. I just approved the new one right before I came in here. I'm told that my numbers on YouTube are going up and up and up, and also on Rumble and on your favorite podcast player. I want to encourage you to share this with others. I think that's why the ones with Mario got so big, because people shared them. It went viral in a small way. And you can also go to stevestrangbooks.com and see my other books. You can get Guiding Donald Trump, which I referred to, and my other books that I've written, including the new one, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World. I've prepared some little introductory videos so that this can be used chapter by chapter in small group settings. We've actually tested this. I did it in my own home. And the little videos I'm going to have, you can email me at info@charismamedia.com and ask for a free copy. If your church would like to use this, just say we'd like a free copy, you know, to consider. And I'll even send you the links. I think I'm going to post the links because they're good. They're about 8 or 9 minutes. I did them right here in this studio. It was my way to introduce it, to spark a discussion. It gives you a real good overview of the book. And I also, Charisma Magazine is now digital. There's going to be a message following this podcast on how you can get it. We published the last print issue. I got it in my home in the mail yesterday. It's the end of an era, but you know what? It's a brand new beginning because we have so many more potentials. We can grow to 1 million, and we could have never done that in print. We can go around the world. We can translate into different languages. This is an exciting day. I will devote a podcast soon. In fact, maybe my next podcast, to just talk about why we made the decision. It has to do with technology. It has to do with new trends. It has to do with costs. And we're excited about this, and I want you to be a part of it. So I want you to subscribe and tune in again for another episode of The Strang Report. Thank you for watching. God bless you.
From 1975, Charisma has been at the forefront of reporting on revival, miracles, and the move of God in our world. Charisma Magazine is now going exclusively online to reach beyond the physical barriers of a print issue. Charisma Magazine Online is committed to bringing you the very best Spirit-led content to inspire your walk with God in this upside-down world. Go to mycharisma.com for exclusive content today.